Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. That we may focus our thoughts on what we are talking about this morning. Just 4 verses from 14 to 17. Romans 1:14, I am debtor, says the Apostle Paul, to the Greeks and to the barbarians, meaning to say, the educated and to the uneducated, both to the wise and unwise. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For as I say, let us read also, for we are not negligent. Yes? You see, I'm not ashamed. Yes, that is good. That better still, to understand that we should not be negligent or indifferent to the gospel work of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Chinese, ourselves first, then to the Indonesians. That's why we went to Pontianak. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, not by works, nor by merit of any kind. None of those things can help to save anyone. So I repeat this part of the verse. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, from the faith He has given us, to the faith that we exercise in Jesus Christ, trusting all in Him, we are saved. So, that is our justification. What makes us just? The just shall live by faith. It is the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if the just shall live by faith, we say, how can you have that faith? Surely you need more faith, isn't it? We all need faith. And the Word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then you ask yourself, how can the people in Pontianak be saved? They need the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word. How are they going to have that faith to trust in Jesus if they do not have the Word of God? So that provokes us, doesn't it? That's why we went. We went on Wednesday. I'll tell you a little story. 43 of us crossed the ferry from World Trade Center to take the ferry across to Pulau Batam. Arriving there, the Batam folks were ready to receive us and drive us to the Batam airport. Did you know Batam has an airport? International airport, beautiful airport. Almost as good as Singapore airport in the Paya Lebar days. Quite good. Before I went, I found a friend in Indonesia in Surabaya. And she said, you had to go by Batavia Airlines. Oh, we only take Garuda. Batavia is unknown. It's a new airline that caused me a little unease. I was wondering whether they were flying very prehistoric aeroplanes. Truly, he said, Batavia? You dare to go by Batavia? Never mind. We trusted the Lord. When we got on board, it was a very big craft. And we saw the thing, it was Boeing. I said, thank God for Boeing. We're not going by some rickety old plane. So anyhow, the 43 of us got our seats. It was a full flight, you know. Every seat was taken. And we flew 1 hour to Pontianak. At the other end, there was Peter Yoksan and his group to receive us. How good. It's always good to be received, isn't it? So we were taken to our hotel. They said the best in Pontianak, called Hotel Kapuas. Now, Kapuas is the river of Borneo, a very long river. Somebody told me 3,000 kilometers. Another person said, no, not so long, only 1,000 miles. But whatever it is very long. He says it takes you 4 days and four nights by motorboat to reach from one end to the other. So we went there and then we began the work. Let me tell you something about Borneo. It's good that you know, not just by what I say, but Ishikti. And for this morning, I have made it very simple for you. Do you know how big is Borneo? How many times bigger than Singapore? It gives you a sense of proportion. Huh? How many times? 100 times? 200 times? 500 times? 1,000 times? No, not yet. Some more. Over 2,000 times. You can put Singapore 2,000 times and you still got space there to fill in into this island. The third biggest island in the whole world. It's an amazing island. And yet there are just a few million people because it is still undeveloped or underdeveloped. We began our interest of missions in Borneo in the year 1996 when a certain brother Peter Wong was in London when I was holding a retreat, a camp with the New Life Church in London. There was this strange young man listening to what I had to say. End of the meeting, he came up to me and says, can you come to Brunei, where I work, and tell us something of what you've been telling us here? So 2 years later, I went to Brunei. And that's Brunei. Now, I've given you all these in highlights so that it is easy for you to identify what we are talking about so that you have a sense of geography. Is it right? Rather than just have a hazy idea. So, 1997. Then, after a couple of years, a group came out and said, we will take a stand together with the Bible Presbyterian Church away and outside of the ecumenical movement, which is leading us nowhere into perdition. So, they came out. After a while, they said, let's have a Bible conference of missions. I said, yes, let's have it. So, the first one was Imiri. All these are oil towns. You know what is oil towns? The cities and the towns that are floating on oil. You put a hole into the earth, out comes oil. So that is exactly what happens. You put deeper, out comes gas. So here is the richest gas deposit in the whole world. That's why the soldier of Brunei is the richest man in the world. And you live in Brunei, you don't pay any tax, and you go to hospital free of charge. So it's a good place to emigrate to. Right? Only problem is, you're born there, you die there, you cannot get the citizenship there. You just cannot, because you're not a Malay. Okay, that's their rule. Anyhow, we went to Miri, and we had the first conference, about 25, 30 people. Next year, they said, let's go to Cebu. Good. Cebu increased to maybe 50, 60 people. And then next year, I said, back to Miri. I said, okay, 30. At this time, we saw some people from Indonesia. Now, please understand, this is called Sarawak, which is Malaysia, I don't know, East Malaysia. Okay, East Malaysia. That's East Malaysia. So now, people from Indonesian Borneo, which is called Kalimantan, came across and attended our meeting. So from there, we said, we'll have a meeting next time. If God willing, in Pontiana. Now, I've explained to you what Pontiana means. It means vampire. Legendary, fairy tale kind of ghost-like bird that flies around sucking people's blood. And that's the name of this city, vampire. By the way, it's not very uncommon to call cities by animals. After all, Singapore is Singapura, that is Lion City, right? So that is Vampire City. So we said, next year, and that is this year, we will go, God willing, to Pontianak. Now, dear friends, you know, our contacts and our connections with Borneo go back over 40 years through Reverend Timothy Toh. God called him to Borneo, firstly with a missionary called Jason Lin. Some of you have read the book. I don't know whether the book is still available in the bookshop. Pioneering in Indonesian Borneo with Jason Lin, among the Dayaks and headhunters. Please remember, the whole country here is Dayak country. Dayak are the natives who live in a very primitive way. At one time, when my father, about 80 or 90 years ago, practiced medicine in Pontianak, that's why he came here. Those of you who are Teochews, you would call it Kung Tiam. Yeah. That is the name of Pontianak in Teochew. So father used to tell us, when he worked there, people live in trees. Yeah. So this is the place of headhunters and tree livers. They live in trees. No more today. After Jason Lin, Reverend Timothy Toh got in touch and worked together with Reverend Junaidi. Now, I want to tell you a little story about Reverend Junaidi. He was a pioneering missionary who worked and lived on the River Kapuas. And the River Kapuas goes something like this, near the border. So Reverend Toh helped him to build a gospel boat of, I don't know how many hundred tons, that had cabins and a meeting hall, as well as loudspeaker system and kitchen for him to live there and to sail the boat up and down the River Kapuas. Reverend Junaidi used that boat for probably 25 years. Until 9 years ago, he had an accident. And he fell into the Kapuas River and broke his spine. And he is paralyzed from below the legs. We went to visit him, and it was good to see this warrior of the gospel of God, but paralyzed and lying on the bed, yet cheerful. He had been preaching in his paralyzed state until 3 years ago. Every Sunday, he'll sit on the wheelchair. They'll wheel him to the church, and he will preach. Still in his infirmity, preaching the gospel. Today, what happened? Well, he is there, counting out his days, unable to move, except they have an orphanage, which they had started many years ago. And those orphans who have grown up, look after him. Take turns to get him up, to feed him, to clean him, to dress him, they put him to bed. Today, the work has fallen on to the hands of his son called David Junaidi. Now, David Junaidi was a student of FEBC about 33 years ago. And having studied here, he had imbibed the gospel and the ministry from FEBC. Today, he told me, he is in charge of 50 churches throughout this land of Pontianak here, with about 100 preachers and evangelists working with him. The wife is the principal of a Christian school with 3,000 students. What a glorious work that came from this man who is now 80 years old, paralyzed because of an accident, but the word goes on. Praise the Lord. Now, so much for this land of Borneo. At this missions conference, we had representatives from Brunei, Miri, Cebu, Kuching, Kuala Lumpur, Batam, Kauri Jurong, Kauri Pandan, and of course Pontianak. Total attending was 130. Now you wonder what is going to happen. We do not count numbers, but we do count the blessings of God, that He has opened to us a mission field into a nation of 220 million. Now, this is the potential. We do not despise the day of small things. Of course, today it is just a little seed planted into Pontianak. We went to see that property. I mentioned to just now the name of Peter Yoksan. Many of us here have met him. He spoke at our prayer meetings a number of times. He has appeared here, a young man, a short man. And his father is a pastor. And he has a church. And that church building is as big as the stage here, that size, a bit bigger. Into this building, they can seat about 60, 70 people. This property with land about 10,000 square feet or more or less is dedicated to become our first BP church in Kalimantan, called the BP Church of Pontianak. This will be the beginning of a work that we hope to do. During this conference, we counted at least 10 graduates or students of FEBC inside that conference. Some of you know them, some of you don't know them, but over 30 years ago, when Reverend Timothy Toh went to Medan, he got in touch with a man called Siriga. And that man came to FEBC with his sons. And the sons are well known to some of you, Siriga Doha, Haposan, and Agus. So these are now in touch with us, and they will form the nucleus of a working group to evangelize in the land of Indonesia. Now, here I like to give you an idea of how God has blessed this word, something most wonderful. You know, it is impossible to go into a place like Indonesia and work without being registered. It is illegal. When we began in Batam in 1989, we had no registration and we were not allowed to register. So we worked under the umbrella of a Baptist group, which was very kind to us. They said, never mind, you can be just a kind of fellowship with the Baptists. So we worked that way. Now, in the year about 1992 or so, Haposan Siriga in Medan thought to himself, I ought to make a stand. So he put up a large signboard, Bible Presbyterian Church of Indonesia in Medan. And his friends told him, you dare to do that without being registered. So they told him, you must go and see the officer of the Religious Affairs Department in Medan, which he did. Now, this is very interesting. He said, I went there to see the officer. And the officer was very stern and very fierce to me. He says, what? You want to register your church? No way. And he chased him out of the place, in his own words, like a dog. Just chase him out. He went out and inquired, why is this officer so angry with? Oh, he was told, not really angry with you, but he's got a grandson that just met with the accident and is now in coma in the hospital. So Hapo-san thought to himself, why not? Let me go and visit the son of this officer, he prayed. Lord, open a way for me to visit with this coma boy of son, grandson of this officer. So he went. And he went there, he saw the relatives, very concerned because there's a little boy in intensive care unit, unconscious because of accident. He called them together and spoke to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is said, let me pray with the child. He did. He prayed, Lord, please heal the child by your almighty power. Next day, the child recovered consciousness. Amazing, amazing healing of God. So, when this happened, the child was completely healed and was allowed to go home. And went home, and the religious affairs officer was so delighted, he allowed this Hapo-san to visit them in the house. So Hapo-san went with a little toy for the boy. And there he met this officer. Officer was a totally changed man. No longer did he bark at him like a dog, but he welcomed him and say, wonderful, you have saved this grandson of mine, and I am going to name this grandson after the first German missionary to Batak land in Medan. And he will be called Nomensen. Amazing thing. Religious officer was a completely changed man and told Hapo-san, now come and see me in my office. I will register your church for Medan in 1 week. Within 1 week, your church will have official recognition as a BP church. Amazing. Then he added, within 2 years, I will get you registered in Jakarta as a national BP church. Amazing. He never asked for it, but he volunteered. So within 2 years exactly, the Bible Presbyterian Church of Indonesia was registered in Jakarta. At that time, we in Batam were wondering what to do. How can we operate a church without being registered, being only under the sufferance of a Baptist group? Then came the good news. Hapo-san contacted us. I was at that time also involved in helping in the church in Batam. Amazing! Now Batam is also recognized because of this registration of the church in Medan and in Jakarta, and by this fierce religious affairs officer who treated Hapo-san like a dog. So this was Hapo-san's testimony. He was with us 3 nights ago, and he told this story with great effectiveness to all the people. Now, what am I driving at? In October, our work in Pontianak was registered under the same license as a BP Church of Pontianak registered in Jakarta. The Lord is good. Now, what is in the future? At the present situation, we have two men. I mentioned Peter Yoksan. Peter Yoksan is a master's from FEBC. And together with him is Arjin. And the two of them will be beginning this work. We are studying the situation with regard to buying a property. Well, you cannot do work in that house that is that small. We went to survey a piece of land yesterday, together with our sister Margaret, the architect from our congregation here. It is about 9 kilometers outside of the city center. That is not far. The land there is $200,000 for 1 hectare. That works out to be about $2 for 1 square foot. Are you following? That's the cost of a piece of land there. 1 hectare is 2.5 acres. In Singapore, 1 square foot will be minimum $200. Down there is $2, right? 1% only. So these are the possibilities being studied. Dear friends, turn to Romans chapter 1. Why we are talking about all these things? Why are we interested in Pontianak? Why don't we just mind our own business and stay here so happily in Pandan? Isn't that right? Huh? What do you think? We sang to you that song. 'Tis sweet to serve the Lord. Oh, hear His voice. We are going to sing this in closing. The Lord is calling. The Lord is beckoning. The Lord is waiting for those who have the word to go and tell those who do not have the word. Verse 1, I am debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians. I say, let us make these our own. Will you please? Wherever you are, whoever you are. I am debtor. What do you mean by debtor? A debtor is one who has received. What have you received? You have received the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, have you not? If not, I urge you, I beg you, listen to the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that word brings you faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to trust in the living Savior, the one who went to the cross. And we learned this morning the memory verse. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What are you talking about, the cross? About a man on the cross? How can a man on the cross who was crucified and buried, how can he save us? To them that perish is foolishness, I say. Dear friends, we who are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God has now reached to Pontianak. Are you not excited? We didn't go of our own volition, I told you. 9 years ago in London, this man saw and heard and said, come to Brunei. Out of Brunei, we moved south from that map, you see, to Miri, to Cebu, to Kuching, now to Pontianak. Oh, the work of God is amazing. We never thought of Pontianak. The last thing we ever thought was Pontianak. Who wants to go to Vampire City? Today, the Lord has sent us there. Is there no purpose? I am debtor, I say, you say to yourself. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, you say, I am debtor. There is on me a certain expectation, a burden, because our Lord Jesus in heaven has no hands and feet on earth but yours. And He expects you to go to Pontianak. If God will call you, why not? Our Lord Jesus in heaven has no mouth and lips but yours. And it is on your responsibility to go and tell the people in Pontianak. Verse 1, verse 14. I am debtor. You are debtor, so am I. We are debtor to the educated and to the uneducated. To the Singaporeans, we are debtors. You know, it is far more effective now to do gospel work in a land like Pontianak. Why? They are still about 100 years behind Singapore in development. Very backward. The people there are still open to the gospel. You can speak to them. They are ready to listen. Can you speak to a lot of Singaporeans today who are ready and willing to listen? Not very easy. So I say, let us think. Pontianak, Kalimantan is a ripe mission field, the Lord says, white unto harvest, waiting. There are a lot of Chinese people in Pontianak. That's why we chose that area. A lot of Chinese. Verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I say, when we went to visit Reverend Junaidi, 80 years old, paralyzed, lying in a bed, cheerful, praying for the people, I say it touches our hearts. If he has spent all his life preaching among the people of Borneo, why don't we now? Don't wait till we are paralyzed. Don't wait until you are sick and you are unable, then say, oh, I wish I could. Don't you? Let me ask you, if any one of us were paralyzed and the Lord says, look, I offer you. If I heal you, will you go? I can say, I dare say, none of us here will say no. You heal me, I won't go. Now here we are healed, able. Think. I don't say all of us pack up and go to Pontianak. That is not the idea. But begin to think and pray. Yes, the prayer, effectual fervent prayer of righteous men availeth much. Pray for Pontianak. Pray that there will be people who will go. The Indonesians will go. Now there is a link up. Medan, Batam, Pontianak. There is a link up of the Sirigas from Medan, Reverend Kiantoro in Batam, and there is Peter Yoksan and Arjun in Pontianak. There's a link up, and they're ready to move. But they need encouragement. They need leadership. They need help and guidance from us. Are we ready, willing to give it? Can we do it? Our groups have visited Pontianak at least 3-4 times. Our leaders, yes, Dr. Lim Yu Cheng, Dr. George Fung, and Deacon Lek Ek Wee, and others have gone there 2, 3, 4 times to survey, to study what is the situation like. Can it be done? All the answers are positive. Can it be done? Yes, absolutely it can be done. After all, Junaidi has worked there for 40 years. Now he cannot work because he's paralyzed. Are there those who will see his example and say, Lord, here am I, send me. There is work to be done, much work to be done. But we need to have willing people who say, Lord, make me willing to use my hands and feet for you to go. My mouth and my lips to go and to tell the word of God, to spread the gospel. So verse 15, Paul says, as much as in me is, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you in Pontianak. Can we all say this? I say, of course not. Not all of us can run to Pontianak and preach the gospel, but this is the apostle speaking. And I say to those who are able, yes, deacons, elders, preachers, those who are able to teach a Sunday school class, why not spend a vacation time there? But before that, you can't all go there and do a ministry in a house that is that size of this, only size of this stage. Pray that God will give us a vision. If our dollar can go 100 times further in Pontianak, why not? If the land there is only $2 a square foot, when it is $200 or $500 or $1,000 in the city here, in Singapore, that's a cost of land. Down there, $2 a square foot. Can we not do it? Answer is, obviously. Obviously. The door is open, as the Lord says, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. When God opens the door, no man can shut it. God has opened the door to Borneo, and I said, no man can shut it. And he says, now go. Look at verse 15. So, as much as in me is, it gave me greatest joy to go and to lead the people and to show them that God can use us. And to many of them, they are encouraged. Why are they encouraged? They say, if you at 80 can go, we at 40 and 20, can we not go? The answer is obvious. The thing is, you got to pray. You pray that the Lord will touch your hearts. For the moment the Holy Spirit touches your heart, you don't need people to tell you to go. You will say, Lord, here am I. Yes, send me. Here am I, send me. And God will use you. Verse 16. So I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not just ashamed. As I said just now, I am not indifferent to the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is those who have, go and tell. This is the last commission, the final commission, the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ to all of us. What is it? Ye shall receive power, and ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. I say, young men and women, think. What are you doing with your life? If John Sung, with all his degrees, threw them into the Pacific Ocean and gave himself 15 years to serve the Lord and burned out until he died from cancer, why can't we? Have you got so much to lose? If you hear the word of God and say, Lord, use me. I want to be a servant for you. Why not? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I will not be hesitant. I will not be indifferent. I'll be not the negligent of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is made to me. It's given to me. It's given to you. You who have a responsibility to go and tell those who do not have. Verse 17, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How shall they have the faith? For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they know the word of God if you will not go and tell them? We who have the word, let us think. Let us examine ourselves. Let us be provoked. Let us pray. Say, Lord, touch my heart that I will feel moved, concerned, burdened, because there are people in Pontianak, Kalimantan, waiting to hear the word of God, waiting to hear the word of life. And I have it. Can I just sit still and do nothing? Well, we begin to pray. Start today to pray. God, touch my heart. Give me a burden for my fellow Chinese, for my fellow countrymen. There are hundreds and thousands of them waiting for the word of life. If you have it, you pray. If you can go, go. We will organize, according to God's enabling, teams to go, a mission to go, and to help the people there who are doing the work. But the work is the Lord's. We are only instruments. You know that? May you be an instrument, a channel, a vessel of blessing through which that blessing of God can flow to the people in Borneo, in Indonesian, Borneo, Kalimantan, Pontianak, that the land of vampires and Dayak headhunters may come to a knowledge of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts that we may understand the issues of the time, the nearness of thy coming, the greatness of the battle, and the wonderful prize awaiting those who will go for thee. For thou hast promised those who will fight the good fight, as Paul the Apostle, will finish the cause and keep the faith, for them await the crown of righteousness, which is given to him and to all who love his appearing, to all who love to go for him, to preach the gospel to those who are still outside the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.